Today's podcast sponsor is Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. Not only can you read them in 15 minutes, you can also listen. I love listening to the Blinkist app when I'm working out. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the Ordinary Vegan community. Go to Blinkist.com/OrdinaryVegan to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/OrdinaryVegan. Hope you enjoy this app as much as I do.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at OrdinaryVegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@OrdinaryVegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 51, Saturated Fat, Fat Myths, and High-Fat Diets. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a whole foods, plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and for animal welfare. Today's podcast is inspired by the most Googled diet of 2018. It's called the keto diet. There are many different versions of this diet, but they all have one thing in common, and that is fat. So I think it's important that we fully understand what fat is and how it works in our bodies. We have discussed fats in previous podcasts, especially in podcast number 23, which is one of my most popular podcasts, called The Cheese Trap with Dr. Neil Bernard. But I think it's important to devote an entire podcast to the subject of fat and squash some of those big fat myths. Before I begin today's podcast, I wanted to mention a few messages I have received this week. They revolve around family, vegan food, and reminding ourselves on why we got started. The first message is from Hans, who is in our Ordinary Vegan Facebook group. By the way, you can join our group by going to facebook.com/group/OrdinaryVegan. Or join our health and wellness community on Facebook, which is over 314,000 strong, by going to facebook.com/OrdinaryVegan. Hans' message went like this. My daughter and her husband are vegan. I made the decision to try it on the 5th of January. My plan was to do a 5-2 plan, 5 days vegan and 2 days moderate regular. Well, that didn't work. When I got to day 5, I was enjoying the vegan meals so much, I stayed with it, and I am now on day 12 and loving it. Thanks, Hans. I love that story because Hans watched his daughter and her husband go vegan, and he decided to dip his toes in. And that's a great way to start. You can dip your toes in and do a 5-2 plan or a 3-4 plan or any eating plan you want. The most important thing is that you're getting started, and like Hans, you may decide you want to do it full time. And I know many of you get frustrated because you feel alone, especially if you're the only vegan in the family. But don't give up hope. Hans was inspired by his daughter and son-in-law, and I see that happen all the time. It might take a long time, but I honestly believe I have influenced some of my friends and family to re-examine the food they put in their body. But it didn't happen overnight. The next message comes from Natasha. My husband and I and our 6 children are 8 days vegan. I have loved your podcast, and Ordinary Vegan is my regular go-to for recipes. We are trying some of your vegan pancakes for breakfast tomorrow. Thanks for being you and for sharing. All the way from Australia, the Martin family. Gosh, Martin family, you are awesome. Can you imagine taking a family of 8 into the uncharted territory of being vegan and learning as you go? Hats off to you, Natasha. What a mom you are, because there is no bigger expression of love than feeding your family healthy food and wanting your family to live a long, happy life. And doing it together is just one big, healthy hug. The last email I want to share is from Carolina. She said, I remember listening to the Ordinary Vegan podcast a year ago and how it helped me to finally decide to go vegan. Whenever I felt alone in this journey and was struggling with the desire of eating animal products, I turned the podcast on again and listened to it. This is my first vegan anniversary, and I couldn't feel better. To celebrate, I'm making some delicious vegan food and again, listening to the podcast with this nostalgic feeling of how everything started. I'm so grateful for this. Thank you so much for sharing so many valuable thoughts. They are so powerful that they made it all the way to Brazil. I definitely got tears in my eyes when I read that. Thank you so much, Carolina, and happy anniversary. That message means so much to me, and it brought up a lot of memories of when I first started this journey in May of 2011. Most people back then didn't even know what vegan or plant-based was. I don't remember if I thought I was going to be vegan 8 years later because I don't remember ever having an end goal. I just remember how much better I felt after I began a vegan diet and how clear and focused I felt, maybe for the first time. And I didn't go from vegetarian to vegan. I went from carnivore to a vegan. It is so hard to imagine now that I ever ate red meat, cheese, or a chicken. As a matter of fact, my family and I were watching an old video from Christmas many years ago, and there I was cooking like I always did on the holidays, and I am literally showing off a beef roast to the camera. And I am like, who is that girl? So proud of a beef roast. But that was my journey, and I'm not ashamed of it. I am just so happy about where I am now. So, however you need to get there, just do the best you can. It is a very personal journey, and yes, it can be lonely sometimes. But loving yourself enough to want to care for your beautiful body, no matter what your body looks like, your body is beautiful. It is amazing. Look at what your body is capable of. And making yourself feel good physically is one of the ultimate ways to love yourself. Okay, now let's clean up the confusion about fat. I know I've mentioned some of this information in previous podcasts, but I have never devoted one podcast to fats, so I'm going to break it down. The average fat intake in the United States is 25 to 55% of all calories. A whole food plant-based diet contains approximately 10 to 12% fat. Your body requires dietary fats, also known as lipids, to perform several functions. Fat helps with absorption of fat-soluble vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals. Fat is also a source of energy. Fat provides essential fatty acids that the body can't produce on its own, and that must be consumed by a diet. Animal fats are mostly saturated, and they are called saturated fats. Plant fatty acids are mostly unsaturated, and they are called monounsaturated fatty acids. Let's talk about monounsaturated fatty acids first. Monounsaturated fatty acids are liquid at room temperature, but they may become a little cloudy and thickened if they're put in the refrigerator. Monounsaturated fatty acids are found in avocados, peanuts, pecans, cashews, olives, almonds, sesame seeds, and their oils. According to the American Heart Association, monounsaturated fats can help reduce bad cholesterol levels in your blood, which can lower your risk of heart disease and stroke. They also provide nutrients to help develop and maintain your body cells. A study of women in Sweden found that those with diets higher in monounsaturated fats resulted in less frequent incidence of breast cancer. A study published by the American Diabetes Association found that diets with monounsaturated fats could improve the loss of belly fat. A monounsaturated fat diet can also play a role in improving the pain and stiffness for people suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. While monounsaturated fats are healthy, like any fats, you don't want to overdo your consumption. I like to keep my healthy fats 10 to 20% of my calories. Next is polyunsaturated fatty acids. Polyunsaturated fatty acids differ from monounsaturated fats in that they have more than one double bond in their structure. Polyunsaturated fats are usually liquid, both at room temperature and in the refrigerator. Polyunsaturated fats make up both the omega-3 and the omega-6 essential fatty acids. They are important for controlling cholesterol, skin health, growth, and reproduction. You can find polyunsaturated fats in walnuts, hemp seeds, flax seeds, and their oils. Studies have shown a certain type of polyunsaturated fats, specifically omega-3 fats, can lower lipid levels and slightly increase HDL, which is the good cholesterol. Flax seeds, chia seeds, walnuts, and seaweed contain that specific type of polyunsaturated fat. Omega-3 fats are also considered to be good fats because they're anti-inflammatory. According to the American Heart Association, polyunsaturated fats can have a beneficial effect on your heart when eaten in moderation and when used to replace saturated and trans fat in your diet. The next fat is saturated fat. But before we go to the topic of saturated fat, I would like to introduce you to today's sponsor, Blinkist. Almost none of us have the time to read everything we'd like to read, and that's where Blinkist comes in. Blinkist is an app that takes the best key takeaways and need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. And you don't have to just read them. You can listen to them instead and multitask. They also have a great selection of books. Imagine learning all the great information you want to know in only 15 minutes. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the Ordinary Vegan community. Go to Blinkist.com/ordinaryvegan to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/ordinaryvegan to start your free 7-day trial. Thank you, Blinkist. Now, let's discuss the biggest fat myth, saturated fat. There has been a lot of controversy about saturated fat recently, but today, I hope we can see past the headlines. Always remember, headlines sell newspapers, and anything related to quick weight loss is quickly gobbled up and most of the time believed. Saturated fat can be found in a variety of foods, including animal meat, certain plant oils like coconut oil and palm kernel oil, dairy products like cheese, butter, and milk, in processed meats like hot dogs and prepackaged snacks like crackers and chips. Pizza, cheese, dairy desserts, hot dogs, bacon, and chicken are the biggest food sources of saturated fat in the United States diet. In addition, many fried foods can contain high levels of saturated fats. Saturated fatty acids are simply fat molecules that have no double bonds with carbon molecules because they are saturated with hydrogen molecules. According to the American Heart Association, eating foods that contain saturated fats raises the level of cholesterol in your blood. High levels of LDL cholesterol in your blood increase your risk of heart disease and stroke. In April 2016, the University of North Carolina Healthcare System released a study that a higher intake of saturated fat was linked to more aggressive prostate cancer. Diets high in saturated fat intake have also been associated with high risk of colorectal cancer and breast cancer. Replacing foods that are high in saturated fat can also reduce your risk of Alzheimer's. Autopsy studies have shown that individuals with Alzheimer's disease have significantly more atherosclerosis in the brain. Atherosclerosis of the brain is when arteries are clogged with fat and cholesterol, restricting blood flow to the brain. Numerous studies show diet plays an important role in the causation and prevention of atherosclerosis of the brain and can even potentially be reversed with flavanols. Flavanols are just one of the many phytochemicals only found in plants. The best sources of flavanols are apples, romaine lettuce, tomatoes, garbanzo beans, almonds, turnip greens, sweet potatoes, and quinoa. Another fat I want to mention today is called trans fat. Many of you here in the USA probably remember a shortening called Crisco. They began marketing the first hydrogenated shortening, which was the beginning of trans fat. Crisco to this day is still available on store shelves. Trans fat is a manufactured oil that is the result of the hydrogenation process. Trans fats are found in most processed foods and are listed as hydrogenated oil on labels. Trans fatty acids are used to solidify food and create a long shelf life. Trans fat also gives foods a desirable taste and texture. Many restaurants and fast food outlets use trans fats to deep fry foods because oils with trans fats can be used over and over and over. Many countries and jurisdictions have reduced or restricted the use of trans fats in food service establishments based on the numerous studies linking trans fats to chronic disease. According to the American Heart Association, trans fats raise your bad LDL cholesterol levels and lower your good HDL cholesterol levels. Eating trans fat increases your risk of developing heart disease and stroke. It's also associated with a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. You can find trans fat in fried food, baked goods, pie crust, frozen pizza, cookies, crackers, margarines, and all kinds of spreads. All trans fats can affect your health, and consuming trans fat is completely unnecessary. Always remember, a nutrition label can state 0 grams of trans fat when it contains less than 0.5 grams per serving. So if you eat several servings of foods that contain 0.4 grams of trans fat per serving, it can add up fast. If you see the words hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated on an ingredient list, you should stay clear of the product because trans fat comes from partially hydrogenated oil. In 2015, the U.S. government admitted that trans fats are a threat to public health, and they have requested that the use of partially hydrogenated oil be reduced, but food companies have up to 3 years to comply. In the meantime, it is up to us as consumers to avoid all trans fat. Just to sum up the calories, Fat, or let's call it lipid, contains 9 calories per gram, compared to 4 calories per gram for carbohydrates or protein. I do feel like I need to mention cholesterol, because as we have learned in other podcasts, cholesterol comes from foods derived from animals. Plants do not have cholesterol. So consuming a high saturated fat diet of animal protein like meat and cheese and butter, you could create a cholesterol problem or exacerbate one you already have. Cholesterol is a waxy substance made in your liver and travels throughout your bloodstream. It's a key ingredient your body needs to make new cells, but too much cholesterol can lead to serious problems. Cholesterol can join with other substances to form a thick, hard deposit on our arteries, causing everything from low back pain, dementia, to heart disease and stroke. There are 2 main types of cholesterol, LDL and HDL. LDL, a low-density lipoprotein, is sometimes called bad cholesterol because it can build up inside your arteries, which cause the arteries to narrow, which can lead, once again, to heart disease or stroke. That is why you try to keep your LDL low. HDL, high-density lipoprotein, is the good kind of cholesterol. It carries LDL, the bad guy, away from your arteries and back to your liver where it's broken down and processed by your body. That is why having a high HDL is good. The third component in all this is triglycerides, which can also play a role in your cholesterol health. Triglycerides are the main constituents of fats and oils in high concentrations in the blood indicate an elevated risk of stroke. Triglycerides are also the most common fat in your body, and their job is to store excess fat from your diet. Elevated triglycerides, along with low HDL and high LDL, can also increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. So it is very important to keep your triglycerides at low levels. Foods that can cause high triglycerides are simple sugars like fructose. In addition, if you have a triglyceride problem, you should limit your consumption of foods such as candy and ice cream and sweetened juices and canned fruits. Avoid too much saturated fat and never eat trans fat. When we get our cholesterol checked, we usually only focus on the overall number. That's why it's important to discuss all your risk factors, HDL, LDL, and triglycerides with your doctor when you have your cholesterol checked. Lifestyle changes can make a significant impact on lowering triglycerides, including consuming a high-fiber, whole food, plant-based diet, and avoiding white flour and added sugars, and also exercise more. So, based on everything we know and scientific evidence, the conclusion is that monounsaturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids are the only fat sources we need, but moderation is still important. Consuming saturated fat and trans fat is completely unnecessary and can contribute to chronic disease. So why are people embracing a high saturated fat diet again? When I began researching the keto diet and the paleo diet, I didn't know much about them. But I did know they promoted high saturated fats and minimal carbohydrates, much like the Atkins diet in the past. So let's break them down. The paleo diet recommends consuming mostly meat, nuts, and seeds. The ketogenic diet is similar. It is a low-carb, high-fat diet, and the theory is your entire body switches its fuel supply to run mostly on the high fat you consume. They say this constant state of fat burning promotes weight loss. This fat-burning state is called ketosis. The keto diet has extreme carb restrictions, about 20 carbs a day or less, depending on the version, which results in low fiber. The diet involves consuming about 70 to 80% of calories from fat. By restricting almost all carbohydrate intake, the keto diet forces your liver to start producing substances called ketone bodies to supply the brain and body with the energy it needs to function. The problem is low-carb, high animal fat diets are a popular way to lose weight on a short-term level, but a growing body of research suggests that they may also lead to premature death when followed for long periods. One study of more than 24,000 adults in the USA found that those who limited their carb intake had a 32% higher risk of death from any cause than people who ate high-carb diets. The head of the study said, "We found that people who consumed a low-carbohydrate diet were at greater risk of premature death. Risks were also incurred in causes of death, including coronary heart disease, stroke, and cancer could occur with people who consume a low-carbohydrate diet." He also said low-carbohydrate diets might be useful in the short term to lose weight, lower blood pressure, and improve blood glucose control. But our study suggests that in the long term, they are linked with an increased risk of death from any cause. These diets should be avoided. At the end of the day, most of these high-fat diets are just a new version of the Atkins diet. If you don't remember the Atkins diet, it was one of the most controversial fad diets around. The diet was high in animal fat and recommended little to no carbohydrates, so the dieters would go into a state of ketosis, where the body once again begins to burn off its stores of fat because it thinks that it's being starved. The initial weight loss was rapid, but the long-term effects became life-threatening. A major study about Atkins was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine from Harvard. In approximately 85,000 women and 45,000 men who were followed for over 20 years, researchers found that all-cause mortality rates were increased in both men and women who were eating a low-carbohydrate Atkins diet based on animal protein. So people who participated in the Atkins diet shortened their lifespan. Another study in the New England Journal of Medicine found that an Atkins diet promoted heart disease, and the studies just kept rolling in. Not only that, Dr. Atkins followed his own diet, and when he died, an autopsy was done on Dr. Atkins, and he died of massive coronary disease. Not only that, he weighed over 250 pounds. That is not something the Atkins people want to come out, but it did. I bring all this up about the Atkins diet because a ketogenic diet or any other high saturated fat, low carbohydrate diet may have short-term weight loss benefits, but it is not going to have any long-term health benefits, and it could shorten your lifespan. Is shortening your lifespan really worth losing a few pounds? A high-fat, low-carb diet also increases your risk in developing many digestive system cancers, like colon cancer. And a high animal fat, low carb, low fiber diet has been shown to reduce the diversity of your gut microbiota. As we learned in podcast number 3, there is a connection between gut health and mental health. So a diet high in saturated fat could cause mental health issues. In conclusion, the very best long-term diet strategy is a diet rich in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, and healthy fats. Too many calories from any source, whether it's fats or carbohydrates, can lead to weight gain and risk of disease. I know we get attracted to fast fixes, which is why diets like the paleo or ketogenic diet catch on. But I can personally say I've worn the same size clothes for the last 7 years on a plant-based diet. But sometimes even I might feel like I need a refresh. And when I do, I like to intermittent fast, which is fasting with food. Intermittent fasting is simply an eating style where you consume your calories during a specific window of the day. For example, I will eat from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. and let my body rest from food from 7 p.m. until 9 a.m. This gives your body time to rejuvenate and can help with weight loss and restore energy. There are many intermittent fasting methods, and you can learn more about intermittent fasting on my podcast number 22 or my podcast number 28. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can find links for all the studies I mentioned in this week's show notes. I would like to thank my sponsor, Blinkist, for supporting the Ordinary Vegan podcast. You can find Ordinary Vegan's full line of CBD oil products from hemp on my website at ordinaryvegan.net/products. CBD oil has many therapeutic qualities, including anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety properties, and it is helping so many people with pain and anxiety. I have been studying the health benefits of CBD oil from hemp since 2016, and my goal is to provide my health and wellness community with the best quality CBD oil on the market, because all CBD oil is not created equal. And my objective is to provide you with the safest, highest quality CBD oil you can obtain. Because my number one goal is to help you live a healthy, pain-free, anxiety-free life. Please follow Ordinary Vegan on Instagram for exclusive recipes. Thanks, everyone. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.